is a start, give us a bit of a problem. Advocate Bial, you have your hand up.
Morning, Chair. Morning, Honourable Members. Chair, I'd like to tender an apology for our Acting Secretary, Mr. Ramaru. He's with the Minister and the Deputy Minister at the engagement this morning. I'll be here with the Advocate Christinga.
Yes, thank you very much. I was going to apologize for the Acting Director when we got to that item, but thank you for informing us. Honourable de Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. When we're going to discuss the agenda, there's just something that I want to raise. I will keep it till that stage, Chairperson. Thank you.
Wonderful, Honourable de Blanche. You'll be given an opportunity then. Honourable Sheikh Imam, is your hand still up or is it a historical hand? Honourable Sheikh Imam? It seems like if that's a historical hand. Babawa, do we have a quorum?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, we do have a quorum.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. The meeting has started. You are all welcome. As you have listened, we have received a number of apologies. We'll be businesslike today so that we can cover the agenda. We can have the... I'm not going to have a long introductory and opening remarks. Let us get straight to the agenda. And then we have done the apologies, the agenda, the minutes, and then we get into the business of today. Honourable de Blanche wanted to comment on the agenda. Let us look at the agenda. We have a consideration of the minutes, the adoption of a committee report. Then we have a further presentation of the ICRC. I'll also ask the department to give their response. And then I'll also ask Nicolette to take us clause by clause once more. Honourable de Blanche, you had your hand up regarding the agenda.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. Chairperson, I don't have a problem with the agenda as such. I just want to raise something else, and I know that we are not going to be able to spend a lot of time on other things, because I know that what we are doing is rather important. Chairperson, we as committee members and the committee itself are receiving a lot of questions, queries, non-performance from the police. People don't always get the necessary joy, and then they obviously approach the committee and even the members, personally. They address the committee and all the members, name by name. Chairperson, my concern is, and I think we must just decide how are we going to deal with that going forward, because people are complaining now that sometimes they don't even get a response from the committee now. And I don't think we want to, leave that legacy that people, even if they contact the committee, there's still no response. And the question then is, where do they go from there? Chairperson, I think we just need to decide on a process that will be followed to ensure that people are going to get, the necessary attention if the police is not performing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable de Blanche, we are all in that same boat. Where we have two staff members, we are inundated with questions, and we are now having to respond on matters which relate to police stations and police stations in its location. And it then does make it almost impossible and nearly impossible for us to respond to every complaint we receive. We, and in fact, we should be responding to those
recording stopped.
We had those similar challenges with the Central Firearm Registry, where we would receive close to 100 emails a day. We are now receiving complaints, which, as you correctly say, range from matters which arise in community.
Recording in progress.
Police station. And what we also found is that initially people thought that they could all rush to the portfolio committee and that they would receive responses from the portfolio committee. It then almost leads to us having to micromanage police, and instead of us doing our oversight work, we are now involved in the day-to-day running of police stations, which does make us very difficult for us to operate and perform our oversight function. Honorable Sir Blanche, the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the National Commissioner are not in the meeting today. Do you accept that we do not deal with this matter in detail today, since we would be basically speaking to the civilian secretariat and not to the people we should actually be addressing our concerns to? So could we for today not discuss this in detail, but we share your frustration? Even the staff, Nicolette is alone, Dr. Tunis is no longer with us. She is now our content advisor, but we don't have a researcher. Babalwa is the committee secretary. It's a nightmare for Babalwa. For us to just follow a daily routine, we send the complaint to the SAPS department. I would like to say that Colonel Stein, he really goes out of his way to assist, but the flow of complaints and the barrage of complaints has just become totally out of control. Honorable Sir Blanche, do you accept that we need the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and the National Commissioner when we raise this matter?
Chairperson, yes. I agree that, you know, obviously we don't have all the people here. And yes, I think we need to discuss that, you know, when these people are back. And maybe we can ask Colonel Stein in the meantime, if you so agree, that he should maybe take up, you know, with his seniors there in head office on how they suggest we should be tackling this. You know, because this is now, and I understand that the minister and the deputy, they have their own other things also to attend to. But Chairperson, then again, today is the third consecutive meeting that our minister is just not here. Really, you know, we need to keep him to account, and he's just not available anymore. So I'm also concerned about that, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sir Blanche. We'll raise the matter with the Minister. I do understand that with the current situation in our country, the Minister does get called for a number of things. So if there's a conflict between what he is expected to do from the side of the executive, we do have that kind of tension between the responsibilities he has towards the executive, the president, and the committee. We have normally had the deputy minister here, so it does create a bit of a vacuum if both the minister and the deputy minister are not here. Honorable Shembeni.
Thank you, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Shembeni. My apologies for not greeting you.
Good morning, Chairperson. How are you? I just want to support Honorable Chairperson. And looking at the crisis that we are having now with the SAPS, it's really, really going to be a problem with us. Because remember when I said that I don't want EFF to be part of this failure by the committee to do its oversight or to hold the executive accountable. Because now we are busy with other things. We're people, not on visual platforms. Let everybody be there. The provincial commissioners, the top management of the SAPS, the college top management, and then the minister and the deputy minister with the civilian secretariat. Sometimes I think they must also be there because they've got a duty also to look into, they've got a mandate to look into this department. It's really, really, really scary. These things that we are getting every day, now we've got questions that were not going to be answered yet today. And things are getting more angrier and angrier. They regard us as useless chairs. To mention it, that is what they are saying about us, that we are so useless. And then let us stop this thing. And I think we must stop now going beating about the bushes, attending to some other things that I think I don't say they are not important, but this is the matter of agency. SAPS, the country is under siege because of. Department. If we can get this department right, our country can be 100% right, Chair. It's really, really important. You look at the corruption in all these sectors. If SAPS is not corrupt, these other sectors of development won't be corrupt. Because they are corrupt because of the mother of all these departments, the SAPS. And it's so corrupt to the core. So, let us do something. Let us stop these meetings without that are not fruitful and go straight. Let us, even if we can sit day and night, get a place where we can sleep, work day and night just to deal with the management of the SAPS and get answers from all those issues that we are having. Those that are implicated also. We must see what is being done. There is a lot. I cannot mention it. It is not the right time. But I need to talk. I've got a lot here that I need to be answered. But I see days are going. People are living as if nothing is happening. No, we can't. We can't. This must come to an end. Let us consider to get a proper day or week, as I'm saying, Monday to Friday or Monday to Monday. We deal with the SAPS management from province to province, and we start from the top because there are things that were not answered. The ex-commissioner said those people must apply for their positions. They did not, meaning that is nothing is rubbish. And most important thing, people were given promotions without application, without being vetted, without being interviewed and everything. Look at what we are today. This is what is happening. They are fighting for positions, corruption, employing their families and all this, promoting their families. Now SAPS is a garden. No, we can't. We can't accept this. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable members, Honourable Shimbeni and De Blanche and all the members of the committee, we have heard the request for a physical meeting and for the strategic meeting, and I cannot agree with you more. We have all agreed that that is required. Nicolette will come back to us soonest with a date. It is not easy to get a date, so we have agreed on a physical meeting. We have agreed that it must be more than one day, and if you can give us time, we will come back to you on the details. Honorable Shembeni, you do not need to think that I have not heard you. I listen to all members, irrespective of the political parties. But on this matter of us meeting physically and have in detail discussions with SAPS, we are all united as a committee, irrespective of our political party. Members, could I accept that we all agree on this? Honourable members, we all agreed on a physical meeting and we all agreed on more than one day with the senior managers. Are we in agreement?
Yes, Chairperson. Okay. Okay.
Agreed? Thank you. honourable members, that takes us now to the minutes. I'm not going to go through the minutes page by page, because what we approving today would be corrections to the minutes and additions to the minutes. Could I then put before you the minutes of the 24th of August? You had the minutes well in advance. Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the changes for the 24th of August, the revised minutes? Do I have a proposal for adoption? There were matters we had to correct. Honorable members? Could you mute your mic, please? Honorable Sheikh Imam, mute your mic. Members, do we have a proposal for adoption?
Good morning, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Peacock.
I propose for the adoption, Chair.
Honorable Peacock proposes for adoption. Do we have a seconder?
I second, Chair.
We have a seconder, Honorable Siabi. Welcome, Wolf. We hope you will feel better soon. Get well. Could we have the next set of minutes, the 31st of August? Do we have a proposal? These are also edited and corrected. 61st of August, do we have a proposal for adoption?
I propose for the adoption, Chair. Kick off.
Honorable Peacock proposes adoption. Do we have a seconder?
I second the Chair, sir.
Seconder, thank you very much. The 7th of September. The 7th of September.
I propose, Chair.
Proposal for adoption. Honorable Peacock. Do we have a seconder?
Again, that's Chair.
Do we have a seconder? Thank you very much. That was the 7th of September. Could we go to the 14th of September now? The minutes have been edited and we have all received it. We have corrected the minutes now. Could we consider the minutes for adoption, please? Propose. Do we have someone to propose adoption? Proposed adoption. Do we have a seconder?
Peacock seconds.
Peacock seconds. Thank you very much. That takes us to the minutes of the 21st. Honorable members, do you have any additions to the 21st? We have scrutinized it. The committee deliberations are there. The responses by the civilian secretariat is there. The set of minutes is very important for our records when we do prepare our reports. Do I have a proposal for adoption of these minutes?
Sheikh Imam, Chair.
Sheikh Imam proposes adoption. Do we have a seconder? Thank you very much. Honorable members, that takes us now to the next item on the agenda. We are done with the minutes. We are now going to deal with the report of the Portfolio Committee on Police. report. You have received the report. The report is before you. We'll go through it page by page. Honorable members, you have page one. Honorable Sir Blanche, do you have any corrections? Shembeni, Sheikh Imam, any additions? The observations, we are now on page two. The observations of the committee. We're going to page three. We have captured it very, very in much detail. Honorable colleagues, that takes us to the end of the report. Corrections you would like to make to the report? Any corrections? Additions? Do I have a proposal for the adoption of the report?
Chairperson, can I just say something, please?
Yes, Honorable Sir Blanche, before you reserve your rights, you may say...
That's exactly what I wanted to say. Thank you, Chairperson.
All right. Other political parties, do you like to reserve your rights? Honorable Shembeni? Honorable Shembeni?
Yes. Chair, I was right. It's only that I'm having a problem with my... I reserve my rights, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Meshu, do you reserve your rights?
Yes, Chairperson.
Thank you. Honorable Sheikh Imam, do you reserve your rights? Honorable Sheikh Imam?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yes.
Thank you. Do we have any other political parties? I think Dr. Groenewald is not here today. He apologized. Honorable members, do we then have a proposal for the adoption of the report?
Molekwa Mupada, the adoption of the minutes, Chapter 22.
Molekwa moves for the adoption of the report. Do we have a seconder? Do I have a seconder?
Peacock second, Chair.
Honorable Peacock. Yes. That takes us to the adoption of the report. Were those political parties who reserved their rights? Honorable members, we will now do the presentation by the ICRC. The ICRC did not have the opportunity to address the committee because they could not join us last week. We will give the ICRC an opportunity to address us now. Have they sent their presentation?
Good morning, Honourable Chair. This is Sarah Maleza from the International Committee of the Red Cross. May I answer your question about the presentation?
Yes, you may.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We did not prepare a PowerPoint presentation for this week as our latest submission, which was circulated yesterday, is quite brief. So instead, I thought I could just make some brief comments and then leave some space for questions from Honourable Members, if that's acceptable.
Thank you very much. You may continue.
Good morning, Honourable Chair. Good morning, members. Thank you so much for the opportunity for us to speak to you again today. We really do appreciate it. I know that we've been taking numerous opportunities to make oral and written submissions, and I think that speaks to the importance of this issue for us. We really do believe it is a crucial issue, and so we really are grateful for the opportunity to address you again today. As mentioned, I will keep my remarks very brief. I know that the committee has time constraints today, and perhaps rather leave some time for discussion if there's any questions from the honourable members. I hope that everybody was able resulted in this state of confusion where the FATF is recommending the deletion of Section 1(4) of the existing Act. Indeed, what we think is happening is that the FATF is arguing that excluding certain actions from the scope of counterterrorism legislation is what is done by Section 1(4) and that that is a mistake. However, we disagree with this observation. We believe that incorporating the savings clause in counterterrorism legislation completely aligns with the requirements of the 1999 Convention. And in the written submission, I have set out some justification for that position. But perhaps on that point, I just want to mention that the ICRC is noticing a trend where in a number of states at the moment, the FATF is making this recommendation to delete or to not include an IHL saving clause, and this is of great concern to the ICRC. And so we are launching discussions with the FATF headquarters in Paris very soon to bilaterally have that discussion with them about this recommendation that they are making that we believe is incorrect. So I just did want to also share that bigger picture. Perhaps a last point on the IHL saving clause is just to share an example which will hopefully make what I'm saying a bit more tangible for us. So I just wanted to highlight that incorporating an IHL saving clause in counterterrorism legislation will not prevent the state, will not prevent South Africa from prosecuting the offence of financing terrorism. While it will slightly narrow the scope of activities that are included in the offence, it does not prevent prosecution of the offence in many instances. So for example, where there is an alleged offence of channeling funds to non-state armed groups for the purpose of committing acts of terrorism against the civilian population, that offence would not be protected by the IHL saving clause, and indeed prosecution could go ahead. So although the scope would be narrowed slightly, it's certainly not taking off the table prosecution of a number of offences related to financing of terrorism. Honourable Chair, if you agree, I'll just then share one or two quick points on the second clause that is of concern for the ICRC, which is the inclusion of a humanitarian exemption clause. Again, just a few highlights to note. I think that there's some concern from the members of the committee, which is completely understandable, that in including a humanitarian exemption, we are opening the door to terrorist entities impersonating humanitarian organizations. And as mentioned, that's a completely understandable concern. However, as the ICRC, we do not believe that that is enough of a concern to justify the exclusion of a humanitarian exemption.
Apologies, madam. We received your input in writing. Could you be brief, please?
Sure. I'll end off now, Honourable Chair. So just to say, I wanted to comfort the members of, or reassure the members of the committee that...
Recording stopped.
Humanitarian exemption clause is not a blank check in any way. There are a number of ways in which it can be narrowed. We made a suggestion of one of the ways to narrow it, but there are a number of ways. And my main message is to say, let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. There might be concerns that an exemption can be abused, but that's not a strong enough reason to not have an exemption. Let's rather look at how we can craft the exemption to make sure that it's valuable and useful. In the written submission, there are a few examples of how we could very clearly make sure that humanitarian organizations that are not exclusively humanitarian in nature do not benefit from the humanitarian exemption. Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'll leave it there, and I'm happy to discuss if there's any concerns or questions from the Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Honourable Members, we received the response of the Civilian Secretariat to the written submission. The Civilian Secretariat has sent us
recording in progress.
I'm sure you have received the responses and you have read it. The issue will be further deliberated in committee. We will go in committee during the clause-by-clause deliberation. We will take note of the concerns of the members now, and it will be highlighted in further deliberation. The matter of the Red Cross will be highlighted in further deliberation. Do you have any comments, further comments on this, Honourable Members? You received the responses yesterday. Honourable de Blanche?
Chairperson, thank you. I want to thank the presenter for the input. You know, it's always good to have, you know, the views from all possible angles. And I think you rightfully indicated that we will deliberate on that further. And we will also, you know, obviously consult, and we have done it already, you know, the state law advisors to come up with, you know, a proper, well-suited, sorted position. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable de Blanche. Do we have any further comments from the committee members? Thank you, Honourable members. I would sincerely like to thank the Red Cross for all the input and for the consistent participation in our work. The Red Cross was given time, and they have been really doing stunning work and making very valuable comments. We will not ignore the comments that they have made. They have certainly made us aware of certain very important national and international perspectives. We would have been less informed if they did not do their presentations. So I would really and sincerely like us to note in our report that we commend the input of the Red Cross and their participation. Thank you very much, honourable members, and thank you very much to the presentation of the Red Cross. As I said, we will deliberate further about it in committee. Thank you very much. We will then as well keep you informed, and this will not be the last engagement that we have with you. So our input from our stakeholders are very important. And we certainly do have a consultative approach, and the committee tries to, at the end of any amendment bill or any report, we try to have as much consensus as possible. Honourable members, I'm now going to ask our content advisor, Nicolette, to take us through a clause-by-clause analysis or input on the bill. The committee would then be allowed to listen to Nicolette. She has done this for us before, and we'll then have an opportunity to respond or give our inputs or ask questions, and the civilian secretariat would be with us to engage and assist us with the discussion. Honourable members, you agree that Nicolette does the presentation now? Agreed?
Yes, Chairperson.
Agreed. Honourable members, I'm sure you all agree with me that we do benefit tremendously from the input of Nicolette. Nicolette, thank you very much for your hard and professional work, which is normally very objective and professional. You may continue, Nicolette.
Good morning, Chairperson and honourable members. Just to start off, I would like to say that between myself and the civilian secretariat, we thought it best to contextualize the clauses of this bill within the Principal Act to give members more bird's-eye view of what the or how the clauses and First Amendment will play into the Principal Act. since then, the National Treasury and various departments have been very busy with drafting legislation that will adhere to both the United Nations and the Financial Action Task Force recommendations. Chief, I noted here that Dr. Tara Bull deals with two separate compliance deficiencies related to counterterrorism as identified by the United Nations and the Financial Action Task Force. Just quickly to highlight the parliamentary process. The bill was referred to the committee on the 19th of July. And that may seem a bit long ago, but you must remember that Parliament was in recess from the 20th of June to mid-August, which was quite a lengthy recess, but we are only dealing with it now. And Chair, I also want to highlight that within parliamentary prescripts, the bill was published in newspapers for a week in all languages, and then the public was given another week for submission. But I think the committee did agree in principle that we will extend the public submission process for a further 2 weeks, and that will currently or presumably end up on the 18th of October, as we are planning it currently. Honourable Chair members, I've just put in a brief background of the Financial Action Task Force evaluation and the grey listing notice that was given to South Africa. In the major evaluation report, South Africa rated poorly, and we failed in 20 of the 40 recommendations in terms of technical compliance, and failed in all 11 effectiveness measures. If members can remember, the representative from National Treasury and from the FIC indicated that these 11 effectiveness measures will be more difficult to actually address, because they have to show the effectiveness of the implementation of various pieces of legislation. Honourable members, as a result, South Africa faced grey listing by the Financial Action Task Force at its February 2023 plenary. To address these 20 technical compliance deficiencies, 11 of these recommendations will be dealt with by both before the Select Committee on Finance, and 4 will be dealt with by regulatory policy and regulations, and then 2 are dealt with by the current Dr. Tara Bull before the committee. And these 2 deficiencies mainly relate to terrorist financing, sanctions related to terrorism and terrorism financing, treason orders, and the publication of notices by the UN Security Council. During a briefing by National Treasury to the Standing Committee on Finance, they indicated that the hope is that all these legislation can be
recording stopped.
Can be passed towards the end of this year in December, and that by early January next year we can have these provisions implemented, so as to report to the Financial Action Task Force. Then, Jefferson, in the previous meeting on the 14th of September, I think it was Honourable Whitfield that asked whether all the amendments were necessary to comply and to avoid grey listing, and where the most critical aspects could not be separated.
Recording in progress.
In response, the FIC stated that all the amendments proposed in the Bogotá bill relate either to the UN anti-terrorism recommendations on deficiency and the other by the mutual evaluation report. Chairperson, honorable members, the state was to the actual bill. I just want to highlight the explanatory note here indicates that the word size in bold font in square brackets means that the existing enactments will be deleted or proposed to be deleted, and the word underline with a solid line and highlighted in grey indicates insertion in the existing enactment. Chair, I'm just going to go through the preamble of the principles of the Tara Act, but I'm just going to highlight the changes made to the preamble of the Tara Bill. And the preamble is only changed by the inclusion of various international instruments, as highlighted by the UN and to which South Africa is signatory or party to. So these are already included, and then these are the ones that will be, that must be included into the preamble of the bill. It's the same with these, and just a few of them will be removed, or is supposed to be removed, and that is no longer applicable. Honourable members, so it's a long list of international instruments that we have become party to since the enactment of the Principal Act in 2004. Getting to clause 1, dealing with the definition and interpretation in section 1 of the Principal Act, clause 1 introduces 21 new definitions, which is related to 10 pieces of legislation, including the SAPS Act. Chair, I must mention the SAPS Act was in the, or is in the Principal Act, but it has now been defined separately as the norm is in drafting legislation currently. The new definitions are mostly related to the Cyber Crimes Act and the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act of 2019. And the clause further amends existing definitions to comply with international norms and standards. Chair, honourable members, I am not going to read out all the included definitions, but I have highlighted it. Such as access is now defined in terms of the Cyber Crimes Act, and similar with computer data storage medium, and computer systems, all related to the Cyber Crimes Act. Then we also have just an amendment here, or an update to the Civil Aviation Act. We've included the Criminal Procedures Act as a separate definition. We then have the Critical Infrastructure Complex and Infrastructure, or Critical Infrastructure, as a specific reference to the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act. And it's also important, it has been included the Directorate, which means the DPCI, or as it's commonly known. And then relating to the Electronic Communications Service Provider, we have received a written submission from the Banking Association of South Africa, in which I for clarity whether section 1 sub E is limited to independent service providers. And G, in response, the department indicated that it is basically addressed by the
that Dr. Zahra Ngong includes 8 new protocols and conventions to the already contained 13 in the Principal Act. So, Chair and members, we just have the definitions still going on here. The non-proliferation going to go through the lengthy explanations by the Secretariat, but the committee will have to deliberate more on this, as Chairperson noted, in committee, whether or not to include this or maybe amend it. But the Secretariat in their written response received yesterday, they have to provide a list of examples where organizations have abused their powers in terms of a humanitarian savings clause. I think they gave about four or five submissions as highlighted by the Financial Action Task Force. And, Chair, honourable members, I've just highlighted here that the deletion was a specific recommendation by the Mutual Evaluation Report of the Financial Action Task Force. But, like the representative from the Red Cross indicated earlier, that
recording
it, is not,
stopped.
It is not binding to the state, and that they will engage with the FAT in Paris later, and we would be very interested in the outcome of that discussion, if the Red Cross could maybe provide us with that. She and members just the Secretariat is very firm on the stance that the deletion of section
recording in progress
should be retained in the Bukhtara bill. This brings us to the end of the first clause, which is quite comprehensive. And clause 2 deals specifically with offences associated or connected with terrorist activities and includes specifically provisions to address foreign terrorist fighters from to include not only the entering question made by AfriForum, specifically related to the violation or possible violation among other rights to the right of freedom of expression. And she is the Banking Association submission was a bit different, but in terms of their submission, the department indicated that the comments are accepted. However, there is nothing necessary to amend the defense clause, as I mentioned above, as the defense applicable in the clause find application to the entire section 3A as proposed to be inserted in the Principal Act and includes section 3A, sub 2, sub 3. Chairperson, honourable members, moving to clause 4, which amends chapter 2, relating to convention offences. This specifically addresses the financing of terrorist activities, and this and also includes the resolution by the UN Security Council to be published by the Minister of Finance. related to offences of hijacking, destroying or endangering safety of a platform by inserting in additional
recording stopped
offences in accordance with international law. It should be noted that similar clauses on additional offences below were related to the hijacking of aircraft and ships. And just for clarity, honourable members of six platforms other offences, Clause 11 proposes to amend Section 11 of the Principal Act by substituting the reference to a specified offence with the offence of terrorism related to Section 2, an offence associated or connected with the terrorist activities referred to in Section 3, and any convention offence or offence referred to in Section 13 or 14. Now, this is a proposed amendment. It's consistent with the amendment proposed in Section 13 to Section 15 of the Principal Act in terms of clauses 14 to 16. That will be highlighted below. So here's that amendment to include offences in Section 2 and 3 of the bill. And then Clause 12 proposes an amendment of Section 12 of the Principal Act in terms of the duty to report friends of persons suspected of intending to commit or having committed an offence and failure to so report by providing that no duty of secrecy or confidentiality or any other restriction on the disclosure of information within personal information or arising from common law or agreement affects compliance by an accountable institution and supervisory body reporting institution as defined in the Criminal Intelligence Center Act or any other person. 25, relating to the publication and parliamentary supervision, and expands on the ambit of and what may be contained in a freezing order, the making of ancillary orders, the publication of orders, the appointment of a curator ad litem, and interim orders. And she, all of these are related, especially in terms of freezing orders amended by the recommendations made by the Financial Action Task Force. It is quite an extensive substitution and very detailed. The previous section regarding the High Court issuing of freezing orders is completely removed and substituted by a new section, as I mentioned, relating to the issuing of freezing orders in relation to terrorist or suspected terrorist activities. Also, members and honourable chair, I'm not going to read through the entire section because it's quite lengthy, but it is very comprehensive in terms of the power of the High Court, but also includes protection as to not abuse this issuing of terms of the public submissions and responses by the Civilian Secretariat, they indicated that Section 24A will be revisited to specifically deal with decryption assistance and passwords or other access technology restrictions on electronic communication devices, and reference was made to the United Kingdom law, UK Terrorism Act 2006. Chairperson, honourable members, moving to Chapter 5, resolutions of the United Nations Security Council, through Clause 31, and it proposed that Sections 25 and 26 of the Principal Act in respect of parliamentary supervision is removed. It proposed that publication of resolutions by the UN Security Council relating to sanctions imposed on entities linked to terrorism and announced by notice in the Gazette should be performed by the Minister of Finance in terms of the FIC Act and no longer by the President for parliamentary consideration. This is also aligned with the recommendation made by the Financial Action Task Force, and I've included here the sections that are supposed to be removed from the Principal Act. AfriForum contested that the deletion of these sections unjustifiably violates the separation of powers, and that Section 26A of the FIC Act makes no provision for the tabling of announcements in Parliament for consideration. However, honourable members and chairperson, it must be remembered for practical purposes, Parliament cannot reject or amend a resolution of listing by the UN Security Council. The implementation of these designations following the adoption of the resolution by the UN Security Council is an expected function. The General Law Anti-Money Laundering and Combating Terrorism Amendment Bill that is currently before the Standing Committee on Finance provides an inspector all notices that relate to the adoption of resolutions by the UN Security Council and subsequent designations and delisting of entities under these resolutions will be issued by the director.
Oh, Nicolette, we lost you for a minute. I don't know if it was me. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Then moving to, I'm almost done, Chapter 6 regarding general provision. Clause 22 proposes amendment to Section 27 of the Principal Act by providing that any proclamation issued under 25.1 that is not supposed to be removed and stay valid with the same force and effect as when it was done previously.
you can mute your mic. A number of members have indicated that they have connectivity problems. I think that even Papawa is battling with her connection. The weather is very bad where she is, so we'll just assist Papawa with a minute. Honorable members, I think that we just have to note the message of Dr. Khanya Satwalo that Nicolette just has to clarify that the advert on this bill went out on the 5th of August and the closing date was the 19th of August. So we just need to correct the fact that, I'm sorry Nicolette, when you said the public had a week, they had more than a week to comment, and that was within the prescriptions of what is required of the committee. We'll just correct that. Am I correct, Nicolette?
Yes, I'm okay. Apologies that I didn't come out completely right, but yes, if I've been we combined 2 weeks and completely in line with parliamentary procedure.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, there you have the presentation. Do you have any questions or comments before I allow the civilian secretariat to respond? I could take a list of hands now. Honourable Cablanche.
Chairperson, thank you. Now, I just want to thank Nicolette for a sterling job done. I really think this is very, very helpful. And, you know, Nicolette is always, you know, on top of her game. And really, this, as I said, will assist us quite a lot. So thanks from my side for her effort. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any further hands? I don't see any further hands. Civilian Secretariat, would you like to comment for today?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, we just want to say thank you to Nicolette for that comprehensive presentation that she just did. It even made me get a better understanding as well. Of all the comments that were made and the response by ourselves. If there's anything extra that needs to be added, we will do so in writing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Advocate. Nicolette, could you just spell out the next steps and the way forward from today?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The way forward from here is that we have sourced quotations for the further publication of the bill for public comment. Preliminary, or as we have planned, the bill will now run for a period of 3 weeks, extending the original 2 weeks. the bill will be prioritized. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Nicolette. Members, Surveillance Secretariat, are we all in agreement with it? There's no opposition, so I believe we're all in agreement. That takes care of that item on the agenda. Nicolette, do we have any further items?
Chairperson, I think that concludes the business of today. I think for Barbara Stramming some down to the meeting due to connectivity problems. But yeah, I think that is the end of the meeting, concluding the business. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. I think we've taken all the comments today. We've gone through the bill in much detail and the amendments which is proposed. I do believe that we could communicate with each other in writing via email. We are really progressing very well on this. You also heard that the Minister of Finance, in his comments in the House last week, indicated that there's a necessity to have this amendment bill passed as soon as possible. As I said initially, we will not rush it, but we certainly realize the urgency of processing this bill. The meeting is now adjourned. Thank you very much. Good luck to those who are speaking in the House. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson.